Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with another study in the book of Revelation. We've been going through chapter 6, and now we are on verses 14 through 17. The opening of the sixth seal continued. First, I'll read the verses, then we'll go into an introduction, and then we'll take each verse one by one and end with a summary and conclusion. So let's begin by reading the verses. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" In this study of Revelation chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, we continue with the opening of the sixth seal to the scroll of God's salvation plan, where we will discover what it means that heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and that every mountain and island were moved out of their places when Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. And then we will learn what is being symbolized in that the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." Finally, we will answer the question to the last verse, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" May our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, grant understanding and insight into all these things. Amen. Well, let's look at our first verse in a little more detail. That's verse 14. It reads once again, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." In this verse, we first read, "And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together." The word heaven normally refers to the expanse in which we find the sun and moon and stars, which all testify, as we had learned in our previous study, to the light of Christ or the light of salvation. But here, that whole expanse departed away, so that the sun and moon and stars must have departed away with it to leave nothing but darkness. Once again, this is spiritually teaching us what we had learned in our previous study, that on May 21, 2011, the light of Christ, or the light of eternal salvation, had come to an end because the light bearers, the sun, the moon, and stars, became black or darkened. Now, what does it mean that the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together? Well, a scroll that is not rolled together is a scroll that is open to be read. But a scroll that is rolled together is a scroll that has been closed and can no longer be read. Thus, when we read that the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, we are being told that the heaven was closed or rolled up so that its sun, moon, and stars could no longer be read or seen. That is, no longer could anyone see the light of Christ shining from the sun, moon, and stars, so that no one could any longer be eternally saved. And as we learned in our previous study, the time when all this happened was on Judgment Day, May 21, 2011, as, according to the biblical calendar that you can click on to see, that was the day immediately after the tribulation of those days described by Matthew chapter 24, verse 19, where we read in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Another way we can look at all this is to recognize that the scroll which rolled together must refer to the scroll of God's salvation plan, for that is the context of which all of Revelation 6 is set. That is, in Revelation 6, we have been looking at the opening of the six seals to the scroll of God's salvation plan. And so when we are told that the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, we are being told that the heaven departed as when the scroll of God's salvation plan is rolled together. And if the scroll of God's salvation plan is rolled together, it means that the scroll has been shut up or closed, which is a picture of God's salvation plan coming to an end. Thus, when the heaven departed is likened to the scroll of God's salvation plan being rolled together, we are being told that with the heaven departing on May 21, 2011, God's salvation plan came to an end. It has been rolled together as a scroll. No longer can anyone be eternally saved, for the wrath of God has come. Next, our verse continues, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Obviously, since we are speaking about something which took place on May 21, 2011, that every mountain and island were moved out of their places does not mean that every physical mountain and island was moved out of its place. No, in the Bible, mountains refer to kingdoms, and islands refer to peoples. For instance, God calls the kingdom of Babylon a destroying mountain in Jeremiah 51, where we read in verses 24 through 25, "And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroys all the earth." And in Daniel 9, the city Jerusalem, or we could say kingdom of Jerusalem, is called a holy mountain, where we read in Daniel 9, verse 16, "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because of our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us." And again, the kingdom of Zion is called a holy mountain in Joel 2 and chapter 3, where we read in Joel 2 verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain." And in Joel chapter 3, verse 17, "So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain." Furthermore, we see that the word islands, that is translated as isles in the Old Testament of the King James Bible refers to peoples in such verses as Isaiah 49 verse 1, where we read, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name." And we read in Psalm 97, verse 1, "The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of islands be glad thereof." Now, the multitude of islands or islands could not be glad unless they were peoples. And in Ezekiel 26, we read in verse 18, "Now shall the isles or islands tremble in the day of the fall, yea, the islands or isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure." Clearly, then, the isles or islands here are referring to peoples, as it is people, not literal islands, who can tremble and be troubled. Thus we see that a mountain can symbolize a kingdom, and an island or isle can symbolize people, which now helps us to understand our verse. When we read that every mountain and island were moved out of their place, we're being taught that every kingdom and peoples were moved out of their place. But then the question becomes, how was every kingdom and peoples moved out of their place on May 21, 2011, when any possibility of their eternal salvations came to an end? Well, ever since then, every kingdom and peoples no longer have any possibility of being eternally saved in Jesus Christ. They are each now certain to be destroyed on the last day of Judgment Day, when they will all be punished for their sins with eternal death. Thus, it is as if every kingdom and peoples have been moved out of their place. They once had a possibility of eternal life, but now they have none, but must stand to be judged of their sins on the relatively soon to come last day, when they will be cast into the lake of fire to be burned up along with Satan and his host, and they will never experience consciousness ever again, but annihilation unto all eternity. Well, let's move on to verse 15. Verse 15 of Revelation chapter 6. There we read, "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Here we have listed seven categories of humans who hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Since the number seven symbolizes the totality of whatever is in view, and you can click on the Bible number seven to see this, we know that these seven categories of humans are meant to symbolize the totality of humans who hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Let's consider each category of humans in a little more detail. The first category of humans we have listed are the kings of the earth. And in the Bible, the kings of the earth can be divided into three different groups of people. First, the kings of the earth can refer to the earthly kings and rulers of this world, such as described in Matthew 17 and Acts chapter 4, where we read in Matthew 17:25, "He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" And again in Acts chapter 4, verse 26, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So we see that these kings of the earth are just the earthly kings and rulers of this world. But then second, the kings of the earth can refer to those who believe in Christ and are eternally saved, that is, the elect, such of whom we read about in Revelation 21, which states in verse 24, "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it," that is, in the light of the New Jerusalem, "and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it," that is, into the New Jerusalem. Obviously, if, as we are told, the kings of the earth bring their glory into the New Jerusalem, these kings of the earth must be eternally saved. Otherwise, they could not enter the New Jerusalem in heaven. Thus, these kings of the earth must refer to those who believe and are eternally saved, namely the elect. For we are told in Revelation 1, verse 6, that Christ made us, that is the elect, kings and priests unto God and his Father. Yet third, the kings of the earth can also represent those who believe in Christ. Most all are now in the churches, but they are unsaved, such as found in Revelation chapter 17, where we read in verse 18, "And the woman which thou saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." The woman in this verse is the great harlot, namely the corporate Christian church, ever since May 21 of 1988, which includes all the Christian churches. And you can click on the link, Revelation chapter 17, to study that in more detail. And we are told that she is that great city, which is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Revelation 17, verse 5. Also called the kingdom of Satan. And we are told that she reigns over the kings of the earth. Obviously, this cannot mean that Babylon, the apostate church, rules over the elect in the church, as they are not ruled over by Satan. But it must refer to those in the church who believe in Christ, but who are not eternally saved. For such are still ruled over by Satan. Thus, we have seen that the kings of the earth in the Bible can refer to three different groups of people. One, the kings and rulers of this world. Two, the elect. And three, those who believe in Christ but are unsaved, who fill all the so-called Christian churches in our day. This third group are all those who are now found, as I said, in all the Christian churches around the world, but who are not eternally saved. They did not obey the command of Christ to come out of all the churches. And you can read of this command by clicking on the link. But let's move on. We must ask the question, who are the kings of the earth referring to in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15, in this context, which reads, if you remember, it reads, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the great chief captains and the mighty men and the every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Well, because the kings of the earth in this verse are clearly described as being under the wrath of God, they cannot be the elect. For the elect can never come under the wrath of God. Thus, these kings of the earth must either all refer to all those who are in the churches but who are not eternally saved, or simply the earthly kings and rulers of this world, or both. We will conclude in this context that the kings of the earth refer to both those who are now in all the churches and the earthly kings and rulers of this world. for the judgment described in our verse is Judgment Day on May 21, 2011, which is a judgment both against all the churches as well as the entire world. But now continuing in our verse, we look at the second category of people who hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, namely the great men. Who are these great men? We read in Mark chapter 6, verse 21, "And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords." That word lords is also translated, can be translated, great men. So Herod on his birthday made a supper to his great men, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. From this verse, we see that the term great men in this context, here translated as lords, refers to rulers under King Herod. And we read in 2 Samuel 7, verse 8 through 9, "Now therefore so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou went, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth." Here God reveals how he made King David like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth by having given all his enemies into his hand. Thus we see that a great man was a leader or ruler of the people who accomplished great things. In fact, if we were to look at all the verses which use this term great men, as I have done, we would conclude that great men are rulers or leaders of the people considered to be great for one reason or another. Spiritually speaking, the great men would be the leaders of the churches, especially those who have great ministries, large churches, TV programs, or the like. They could even be those who show signs and wonders, or could even do other great things. Whatever the case, they are those who have rule over people and are considered great. Now, the third category of those who hid themselves in the dens and in the caves of the mountains are the rich men. We all know who these rich people in the world, who they are. They are those who are financially and materially rich. They are also kings and rulers of this world in many cases. They are those greatly esteemed for their riches and influence. Spiritually speaking, they are those in the churches who are rich in spiritual gifts and talents. And because of these spiritual riches, they are often the leaders and rulers of the churches and are highly esteemed by the church members. They stand apart from most in the congregations for their spiritual riches in gifts and talents. But now we are told that the fourth category of those who hid themselves in the dens and in the caves of the mountains are the chief captains. Literally, the single word translated as chief captains means captains of a thousand. It's just the word captain, and it means captain of a thousand. But since the number thousand is symbolic of the completeness of however many people may be in view, and you can click on the link to see this, they could be rulers of any number of people. Spiritually speaking, the captains refer to all the leaders again, the teachers, the gurus, the pastors, the elders, the prophets, and spiritual leaders on all levels of all the false religions and philosophies of the world, including the so-called Christian churches, ever since their complete apostasy came about beginning on May 21, 1988, at the end of the church age and at the beginning of the great tribulation upon them. Next, we come to the fifth category of those who hid themselves in the dens and in the caves of the mountains, namely the mighty men. literally, it is translated the mighty, or we could say strong, or we could even say powerful ones. These are those who, because of their position or great influence over others, yield a great amount of power. They are those who may have accomplished great things in this world. They are the capable people of this world. They are the well-educated, perhaps. They are the powerful ones because of their wealth, skills, training, or abilities. Spiritually speaking, they are the pastors, again, the leaders, the teachers, the evangelists, the prophets, and those who with other great gifts and talents, especially those who fill stadiums, have huge churches and TV ministries, or do signs and wonders, and so on. Well, do you see how all five of the previously mentioned categories of those who hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, namely the kings of the earth, the great men and the rich men, the chief captains and the mighty men, all basically overlap to describe one and the same group of people, namely the most powerful people on earth? And God reveals the most powerful people on earth by five categories of people to symbolize that they're under His judgment. That all the most powerful people on earth have come under judgment ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. And as we have already learned, this judgment makes it impossible for the most powerful people on earth to become eternally saved. They are now all certain to perish on the last day of Judgment Day when they are cast into the lake of fire. But now our verse lists a sixth and seventh category of peoples who hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. And they are not the powerful people of the earth, but they are every bondman and every free man. The word translated here as bondman is the word normally translated as servant. Thus, every bondman refers to every servant of someone. On the other hand, every free man refers to everyone who is not a servant of someone. And since every servant and every free man in this context are categories that together represent everyone other than the powerful people of the earth, the first five categories, which do represent all the powerful people of the earth, plus the sixth and seventh categories, which do represent everyone else, equals everyone. That is, on May 21, 2011, the powerful people, as well as everyone else, hid themselves in the dens and in the caves of the mountains because judgment had come upon them. Indeed, judgment has come upon the powerful and the powerless alike. Yes, all the power you may have had in this life could not save you from the wrath of God, for you are a sinner even as the powerless are also sinners. For what does the Scripture say? It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Therefore, all deserve to die who were not eternally saved through Christ by May 21, 2011. Now, what does it mean that the powerful people and everyone else hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains? Of course, we're talking about all those who were not eternally saved in Christ by Judgment Day. What does it mean that they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains? Let's first consider what the dens symbolize, and then we'll consider what the rocks of the mountains symbolize. The word den can just as well be translated as cave. And in the Bible, a den or a cave can represent the house of God that has become full of robbers and evildoers. For instance, we read in Jeremiah 7, verses 9 through 11, "Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. We also find that the word den or cave can represent the house of God that has become a den of thieves in Matthew 21 verses 12 through 13. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Again, we read in the parallel verses of Mark 11, verse 17, and Luke 19, verse 46, respectively. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? And in Luke 19, 46, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Thus, we can see how the word den, which can be translated cave, can be used in the Bible to describe the house of God that has become a den of thieves or robbers and evildoers. But now, returning to our verse, it reads once again, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. What does it mean that the powerful ones of the world and everyone else hid themselves in the dens? Since we have found that a den represents the house of God that has become a den of robbers or thieves, that they hid themselves in the dens, plural, means that they hid themselves in the various houses of God throughout the world. The houses of God in this context of our verse not only refer to all the Christian churches, but also the houses of God for all the various world religions, such as all the mosques, synagogues, temples, holy places, and so on. In other words, whatever religion or faith the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, that is all the powerful people of the world, as well as every bondman and every free man, that is every other than the powerful of the world, everyone else, may have had, they each hid themselves in their various places of worship, that is their dens or caves, which simply symbolizes them all trusting in all their various faiths or religions to protect and save them from the wrath of God. Now our verse also says that the powerful ones of the world and everyone else hid themselves in the rocks of the mountains as well as the dens. What do the rocks of the mountains symbolize? Since we already learned that mountains can symbolize kingdoms, or we could say nations even, we are being told that they hid themselves in the rocks of the kingdoms or nations. But then what are the rocks of the kingdoms or nations? We know that the rock of our faith is Christ Jesus, our God, as revealed in many verses in the Bible, such as Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him, that is on Christ, shall not be ashamed. And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And in many of the Psalms, God is spoken of as a rock. For instance, Psalm 78:34, and they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Psalm 89:26, He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Psalm 94, verse 22, But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And now if God is a rock, as we have discovered in the Scriptures, then who would be the rocks of the kingdoms or nations? Why, they would be the false gods of the kingdoms or nations, of course. That is why we read in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 31, For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. And again in Deuteronomy 32, verse 37, And he shall say, Where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? So, we can know that when our verse says that the powerful ones of the world and everyone else hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains on May 21, 2011, it means that they hid themselves in the places of worship and in the false gods of the kingdoms or nations. The false Christians hid themselves in the Christian churches and in the false Christs of the nations or the kingdoms. The Muslims hid themselves in the mosques and in the false god of Allah. The Jews hid themselves in the synagogues and in their false god of their nation. And all the other powerful people of the world and everyone else hid themselves in their places of worship and in the false gods of the kingdoms or nations. Indeed, when Judgment Day came on May 21, 2011, they all hid themselves in their respective religious places of worship and their false gods, which symbolizes that they sought their security and protection from the wrath of God in their respective religions and false gods. And even to this day, we still find them hiding in and trusting their respective religious places of worship and their false gods to keep them from the wrath of God. Okay, let's move on to verse 16. Verse 16 of Revelation, chapter 6. It reads, And said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. In this verse, we find that the powerful ones of the world and everyone else hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and that were not eternally saved in Christ by Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. They said to the mountains and rocks, that is all the powerful ones of the world, and everyone else said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. More accurately, it reads that they are saying, present tense, not past tense, that is, they are continually saying to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now we must remember that this is all symbolic language, so that the powerful ones of the world and everyone else that hid in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains on May 21, 2011 are a picture of all the unsaved hiding in all their various face and false gods in hope of protection from God's wrath. And when we read that they are saying to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, it simply means that they're trusting in their kingdoms, symbolized by the mountains, and their false gods, symbolized by the rocks, to fall on them or cover them over to protect them from the wrath of Christ. Of course, their false gods were not able to save them from God's wrath, as none of them can now be eternally saved, which means they're all guaranteed to perish for their sins on the last day. But nevertheless, they continue to hide in their individual faiths and trust in their false gods because they cannot yet see the truth, namely that they are trusting in faiths and in gods that cannot eternally save them, and that eternal salvation is no longer possible for any of them ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. They have been snared. They have been imprisoned, and yet they see it not. But they will see it on the last day when all this is revealed and they all are cast into the lake of fire to die forevermore, to be annihilated, to not exist ever again. Moving on to verse 17, which is the last verse we'll cover in this study, it reads, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Here we have the ominous statement that the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Literally it reads, "For the great day of his wrath came," past tense, "and who can stand?" The idea is that the great day of God's wrath came against all the billions of unsaved people on May 21, 2011, and which one of them can stand? The answer is that none of them can stand against God's wrath because all of them have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. Therefore, they all deserve to die. And on May 21, 2011, they did die in principle, because ever since then, none of them can be eternally saved in Jesus Christ. The only way that one can be saved, as any possibility for eternal life came to an end, which means they are all now guaranteed to perish for their sins on the last day of Judgment Day, when they are all cast into the lake of fire to burn up and exist no more for all eternity. Yet on the other hand, there are some who can stand against God's wrath, and they are all those who were eternally saved in Jesus Christ by May 21, 2011. These can stand because Christ took on their sins and paid the price of death in their place when he hung on the cross. Therefore, our sins have been paid for so that we cannot be condemned, and he has given us eternal life when on the last day of Judgment Day we shall be given new, eternal, incorruptible bodies to live in the new heaven and earth where there is no pain and suffering, no sadness or sorrow, and no death, but only joy, righteousness, and glory in the service of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In conclusion, in this study we learned that on May 21, 2011, Judgment Day, the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. This, we learned, simply means that on that date, the heavens above, in which we normally would see the light of the sun, moon, and stars, which symbolizes the light of eternal salvation, was rolled up as a scroll so that the light of eternal salvation was shut up. No longer could anyone be eternally saved. We could say that the scroll of God's salvation plan was rolled up or shut up so that any possibility of eternal life came to an end. And of course, I'm speaking spiritually here. We still see the sun, moon, and stars physically, but this is spiritual language, not physical language. Then we learned that the symbolism of the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man that hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. This represents all the powerful ones of the world as well as everyone else who on May 21, 2011 trusted in their various religious kingdoms and false gods to protect them from the wrath of God. Although they believe that their gods have saved them from God's wrath, we know that they did not. For ever since that day, none of them can now be eternally saved, but they must now pay for their sins with death to be revealed on the last day of Judgment Day, of which we are now in, when all the billions of them will be cast into the lake of fire to be destroyed forever. They will never exist ever again. Finally, we saw that all the powerful ones of the world and everyone else hid in their respective false religious kingdoms and false gods for protection on May 21, 2011, for the great day of his wrath came, and who can stand? The answer to the question is that none of them can stand, because none of them can now be eternally saved by the one and only true God, Jesus Christ our Lord. For any possibility for eternal salvation has ended. Yet thanks be to our Lord who saved us in Christ Jesus by May 21, 2011, by paying the price for our sins on the cross so that we alone could stand on that day of his wrath. Now with that, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.